All right, let's dive in. We're tackling e-commerce niche selection today.
Yeah.
You guys sent in this article, How to Identify and Validate a Profitable Niche for E-commerce.
Right.
And whoa, it's packed with strategies.
It is.
But sometimes, you know, too much information can be overwhelming.
For sure.
So that's where you come in, right? To help us break it all down.
I'm happy to try.
Perfect. So picture this. Our listeners are at the very beginning.
Okay.
Of their e-commerce journey.
Mm-hmm.
So many options, but also kind of confusing.
Definitely.
Like a big tangled mess of yarn.
Oh, yeah.
And this article, it wants to help us find that perfect thread.
I like that analogy.
The one that leads to e-commerce success.
Yeah.
And that all comes down to niche selection, which is like the foundation of everything.
It really is.
Like the article says, choosing the wrong niche.
Mm-hmm.
It's like building a skyscraper on sand.
You're going to have problems.
It just won't hold up in the long run.
Nope.
So that brings us to the why behind focusing on a niche, right? It's not just about standing out.
No, it's about
giving yourself the best possible chance.
Yeah, giving yourself the best chance to succeed.
To succeed. The article lists all these benefits.
It does.
But here's where it gets interesting for me.
Okay.
Let's say you're selling, I don't know, handcrafted jewelry.
Okay, I see.
Think about the difference between marketing to everyone
mm-hmm.
versus targeting, let's say, brides who are looking for unique earrings.
Oh, yeah.
Like bohemian style earrings or something like that.
That's much better.
It's way more specific.
So much more focused.
And that's what niching down allows you to do.
Exactly. It makes all your marketing so much more effective.
With a niche, your marketing is laser focused, like you said.
You're speaking directly to the right people.
You're talking to the people who actually want what you're selling.
And who are most likely to buy.
So more engagement, more sales, ultimately a more profitable business.
And you build trust faster, too.
That's right. Authority.
When you're known for one specific thing.
You become the go-to person for that thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So niching down, better marketing, faster authority building.
Uh-huh.
What else did the article say?
Well, it also talked about, you know how overwhelming it can be
oh, yeah.
to walk into a huge department store?
Too many choices.
It's like sensory overload.
Haley.
And it's the same for customers in a broad market.
When there are just too many options.
Way too many options, yeah.
But a well-defined niche cuts through that noise.
It makes you stand out.
Makes you the solution to a specific problem.
You become the answer they're looking for.
So less competition, more clarity for customers.
Right, exactly.
There was one more benefit that I really liked.
Okay.
Scaling.
Oh, yeah.
Why is niching down helpful for growth?
Because you start with a really engaged audience.
People who already get what you're about.
Yeah, they understand your value proposition.
Exactly. Imagine trying to scale a business that's selling everything to everyone.
It would be a nightmare.
It would be a nightmare.
So much harder to manage.
But with a niche,
you can focus your efforts.
You can streamline, refine your offerings, grow strategically.
It's more efficient.
All right. I'm getting convinced here. Niching down is the way to go.
Yeah.
Now, the article kicks off with passion, which I understand, but it feels a bit cliche, you know?
I get it. It's like
passion alone doesn't pay the bills.
You need more than just passion. Yeah.
Exactly. We both know that.
But the article does try to make it more practical.
Sorry.
It talks about thinking about your hobbies,
mm-hmm.
your skills, even the things people always ask you for advice about.
Oh, yeah.
Those can be clues to potential niches.
Where your knowledge could be valuable.
Yeah, where you can actually help people.
So passion can be the starting point. But the real question is demand.
Right. Is there a market for it?
How do we move beyond gut feeling and actually validate a niche idea?
Well, we got to get into the customer's head.
Okay.
Figure out what they're searching for, their problem.
They're looking for.
Yeah. And what solutions they'll actually pay for.
What are they willing to spend money on?
Exactly. And luckily, we have tools for that.
The article mentions Google Trends.
Yeah. Good starting point.
But most people already know about that, right?
Probably. Yeah.
What are some less obvious ways to uncover that demand?
One of my favorites is online communities.
Okay.
Like Reddit. Niche forums, even Facebook groups.
Those can be really insightful.
They're gold mines. You can see real conversations.
Real people talking.
About their problems, their frustrations.
You get the language they're using.
It's super valuable.
Yeah, it's like market research straight from the source.
Absolutely. And you can spot trends early.
Before they become mainstream.
Exactly.
Any other tools or strategies you would add to that?
Well, keyword research is still important.
Of course.
But go beyond just volume and competition.
Okay.
Look for long tail keywords, you know.
Long tail keywords, what are those?
They're longer, more specific phrases.
Okay.
That show a targeted need. Like, instead of yoga pants, try eco-friendly yoga pants for petite women.
You're basically reverse engineering the search.
Yeah.
To figure out what people actually want.
Exactly.
So we have the passion, the demand.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next piece of the puzzle here?
Interesting. Now we got to look at the competition.
Okay.
The article talks about it, but I think it's worth spending some time on.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Because remember, competition, it's not always a bad thing.
It's not?
No, it can actually be good. It means there's a market there.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it validates your niche.
Okay.
The key is you got to understand who you're up against,
right,
and how you can be different.
So the article mentions analyzing strengths and weaknesses,
mm-hmm,
but how do we actually use that information?
It's about finding those gaps, you know, where you can offer something unique.
Something better.
Yeah, like maybe you're in the skincare niche.
Okay, skincare.
And your competitor, they have great products, but their website is terrible and their customer service is awful.
So that's your chance.
That's where you can shine.
You can build a better website.
Easy to use, personalized consultations.
Maybe a loyalty program.
Exactly. Reward those repeat customers.
So it's about finding your advantage.
Your unfair advantage.
The thing that makes you irresistible.
That makes people want to buy from you.
And that differentiation can come in different forms.
Product features, your brand story.
Pricing, even packaging.
Don't be afraid to experiment.
This makes me think about the pre-sales testing from the article.
Oh!
I think that's such a smart idea.
It is. Validate demand before investing too much.
Have you seen that work?
Absolutely. I've seen businesses use it to refine their offerings.
Give me an example.
I worked with a company. They were launching eco-friendly yoga mats.
Okay.
They made a landing page with images, their story, and a pre-order button.
Whoa.
They ran ads on social media. The response was amazing.
I know.
The pre-orders validated their niche, and they got feedback on pricing and features.
Wow. So you're getting customers involved early on.
Yeah, co-creating with you.
And the article also talks about social media for validation.
Mm-hmm. It's so powerful for connecting with your audience.
But social media can be a time suck, too.
That's true.
How do we use it strategically?
Focus on quality, not quantity.
Okay.
Pick a couple of platforms where your audience is.
Don't try to be everywhere.
Exactly. And be genuine. Share good content. Show your personality.
Authenticity is key these days.
It is. People can spot a fake.
Be real. Be helpful. Build relationships, not just followers.
I like that. Build relationships.
Now, there's one part of the article I think people struggle with.
What's that?
Assessing profitability.
Oh, yeah. The numbers can be intimidating.
Especially when you're starting out.
It is important to understand if your niche is viable, though.
So the article says aim for a 30-50% profit margin.
That's a good starting point.
But we also need to think about pricing.
Production costs, marketing expenses, all of that.
It's the bigger picture.
Making sure your business can actually work.
Any tips for ensuring our niche is financially viable?
Create a financial projection.
What's that?
Estimate your costs, your expenses, and your potential revenue.
So you know how much you need to sell to break even.
Exactly, and to start making a profit.
Okay, so projections are important.
Very important.
Anything else?
Think about scaling and future growth.
Okay.
Can you expand your product line? Offer upsells.
Create a subscription model.
Yeah. Choose a niche with room to grow.
So we're thinking long term.
Always thinking long term.
And being flexible.
The market changes. You got to adapt.
What's a winning niche today might not be tomorrow.
That's true. Stay informed. Be agile. Be ready to pivot.
Speaking of pivoting.
Yeah.
The article doesn't really dive into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's so important.
It is. It's okay to change course.
Sometimes it can lead to even bigger success.
Absolutely. It's all part of the journey.
Embrace the ups and downs. Learn from mistakes.
And keep experimenting.
So, competition, profitability, scaling.
We're getting a good framework here.
But there's one thing the article keeps coming back to.
What's that?
Customer feedback.
Oh, yeah. That's crucial.
Why is it so important for niche selection?
Because your customers decide if your business succeeds.
They're the ones buying.
Exactly. Their feedback validates your niche, helps you improve.
The article suggests surveys and polls.
Mm-hmm.
Any other creative ways to get feedback?
I like to create a customer advisory board.
What's that?
It's a small group of your ideal customers.
Okay.
Who are passionate about your brand.
They give you honest feedback.
On your products, your marketing, your strategy.
It's like a built-in focus group.
Exactly. Meet with them regularly, get their insights.
Test campaigns, get feedback on the experience.
It's invaluable.
So it sounds like niche selection is an ongoing process.
It is. It's a journey.
The market's always changing.
Consumer preferences change. New opportunities pop up.
You got to stay curious, adaptable.
And always listen to your customers.
It's like those little hidden alleys in a city.
Oh, yeah.
You might miss them if you're not looking.
Right.
But they can be full of amazing things.
They can. Those hyper niche markets.
Hyper niche. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. It's almost like a counter trend to the mass market approach.
Going against the grain a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
So the article says hyper niche markets let you become an expert.
For a very specific audience.
But it also feels like it could limit your growth, right?
That's a good point.
What do you think about that?
Well, a hyper niche market might have fewer customers overall.
Okay. Smaller customer base.
But those customers are super passionate.
They're really into it.
And loyal. They're actively looking for solutions.
Solutions just for them.
Tailored to their specific needs. And they're willing to pay more for that.
So it's like trading a wide net for a laser focus.
Yeah. You're going straight for that bullseye.
You're not trying to catch everyone?
Nope. Just the right people.
Okay, I'm seeing the appeal here.
I think it can be a really smart strategy.
But let's say you've found your hyper niche.
All right.
You've validated the demand. You're ready to launch.
What's next?
What are the keys to marketing and branding in that kind of market?
Community building is super important.
Okay, community.
You got to find where those customers hang out, online and offline.
Be part of the conversation.
Join forums, Facebook groups, maybe even host events.
In-person events.
Yeah, workshops, things like that.
You're not just selling, you're becoming a resource.
A trusted expert, a leader in that community.
And that ties into something the article emphasizes, trust.
Oh, yeah.
Why is trust so important in a hyper-niche market?
Because those customers are often trendsetters.
Early adopters.
Influencers, they value authenticity.
Transparency, real connection.
They want to feel like they're part of something special.
Something exclusive.
Yeah, it's about the experience.
Okay, I'm getting so many ideas.
I think there's a lot of potential here.
This deep dive has been incredible. We've covered so much.
We have, from the basics of niche selection to some pretty advanced stuff.
I think our listeners have a lot to think about now.
They do. Hopefully they're feeling inspired.
I think so. But before we wrap up, I want to leave them with one last thought.
Okay.
The article ends by saying, you've got this.
It does. And I believe that too.
Finding that perfect niche, it might take time.
It might take some experimenting, some pivoting along the way.
But it's definitely possible.
It is, if you're willing to put in the work.
So listeners, here's your challenge.
What's that?
What's one small step you can take today to get closer to your niche?
It could be anything.
Brainstorm your passions. Explore an online community.
Try a keyword research tool.
Whatever it is, take action.
The world of e-commerce is waiting.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time, ready to explore something new.
See you then.